This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
For gadget news and reviews, click to yourtechreport.com. Welcome back to Your Tech Report.
Back on Your Tech Report, an exciting week in tech. Obviously, so much going on the past couple of weeks, and it's not going to end anytime soon. Our next guest is a founder and editor-in-chief at The Shortcut, Matt Swider. You are so plugged into absolutely everything that's going on in the world, thanks, obviously, to the work that you do. Before we were getting on the air here, you were telling me you were just, obviously, picking up your new iPhones. Before we dive into everything that happened this week, first, impressions on the new iPhone 15 lineup? Are you excited? Are you like everybody else that says, it's just little incremental stuff? What's your feeling?
I feel like the new iPhone is a big advancement between the 14 and the 15, especially the 15 Pro Max version. The 13, I feel like the jump to the 14 really, you know, it wasn't significant. It was, you know, there's changes, but the changes this year are actually pretty much worth it if you're looking for two things, camera and gaming. And I feel like those are the two sweet spots that Apple has honed in on.
I feel like gaming has been something they've been slowly ramping up over the years, but this year was a little bit of kind of like a plateau where there's like, okay, you can now really game on this device to the point that there are going to be exclusive titles that are available only on the iPhone, at least to start. Is it a market that's ripe for picking at this point on the mobile side?
I think it is. I think they made enough of an advancement where we see all these PC gaming handhelds come out. Steam Deck, Asus ROG Ally, Lenovo has one called Lenovo Legion Go. All these handhelds are coming out, and the Apple iPhone, the iPhone 15 Pro series, feels like it fits into that category all of a sudden, because it can play the latest Resident Evil games. It can play the Assassin's Creed game coming out, Assassin's Creed Mirage. Like, these are console quality games. So I'm excited to see how they apply that ray tracing, the hardware accelerated ray tracing, and see how they can match what is on a big screen. You have it on an iPhone, but you can also plug via USB-C, because they're USB-C connected now. You can plug that into a TV. So it's a question of, do you really need that home console? Or can you just use your iPhone and almost treat it like a Nintendo Switch, where you have it plugged in and you're playing on a big screen, but you're taking it with you on the go? So that's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, no, I feel almost like the smartphones going into this space. Not writing up the on the wall type thing, but I think that the future of consoles may not be physical consoles anymore. You know, my son was, you know, downloading games last night on the new releases on GeForce Now and playing it on the iPhone 14, and it looks even better, honestly, than some of the console games I've been playing lately. So, you know, especially when the fact the phones keep updating every year, whereas the consoles were in this like 4 or 5 year cycle.
Yeah, I think that's the way the console makers want it to go in some ways. They don't want Apple to steal their thunder, but they also want it to be digital only and diskless, and they kind of want the PlayStation Network takeover or the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, those subscription services. And they want to basically give you the ability to play games without supplying you with the hardware, because they make money on the games, not necessarily the hardware.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just the savings overall, just an overhead in terms of printing games and everything that goes along with it. I can imagine that the profit obviously jumps at the end of the day. Obviously, we'll look out for your full review, of course, of the iPhones and the Shortcut. But let's dive into some of the stuff this week. Amazon made a pretty big splash. I was surprised it's taken this long for a company of that caliber with these smart speakers out there to embrace these natural language models of generative AI. I'm glad Amazon's the first, just because in my house, selfishly, that's what I have pretty much around me most of the time. What were your takeaways from that event?
I feel like they are probably embarking on kind of a transition of sorts. They definitely talked a lot more about AI than they had ever in the past. They kind of dived into that in previous years, but this year it almost the first half of it was about AI and generative AI and how Alexa is going to get smarter. So that was kind of interesting. And, you know, Microsoft has kind of, you know, definitely spearheaded a lot of AI work that, you know, Google's catching up on, and Amazon seems to be, you know, going, you know, joining the party. So, and then they come out with a, you know, this cavalry of devices. It's just like endless. But it's, you know, they just hired one of the executives from Microsoft. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Microsoft is kind of cutting budgets on hardware, and hopefully that means Amazon is ramping up. But they have their usual Amazon Echo Show, a new Amazon tablet for kids. And then they have like kind of more out there devices like the Amazon Echo Frames, and, you know, kind of like a lot of smart cameras for surveillance. So they're in all categories, which is kind of what you expect from Amazon. But then they're also in streaming with MGM Plus, because they bought MGM back in 2022, like a little bit over a year ago, for $8.5 billion. And it's like, okay, what have they been doing with that? So now, of course, we have another Plus service to watch your James Bond and different Top Gun and different MGM properties that have kind of been sitting there on other platforms. They're going to make that free for 6 months for Amazon users. So they have their hands in a little bit of everything. And it's just an interesting company to watch, because you're trying to figure out, okay, what's their end game? Because Apple wants to sell you phones.
Yeah.
Google wants to, you know, have the Android operating system everywhere. And Amazon, I guess their end goal is just keep paying for the Amazon Prime subscription. But it's interesting to see how they make money. There was a report that they weren't making a lot of money off of Echo devices, and they're actually losing money. So it's I feel like they're in this transition year where they're trying to find their footing.
Yeah, it's almost, you almost wonder if it all just comes back to just data harvesting, right? So they can sell you more stuff at the end of the day. Because if you think about their core, I guess the money that's being made really is on just the retail, just Amazon.com. Like, I mean, the ability to just order anything you need anytime and have it there in 2 days seems to be where obviously their forte lies. And I'm wondering if the devices are just that gateway and all these services are just a way to just find out more about the users that are there. But obviously, you know, from the consumer standpoint, that's just offering you more and making it more enticing to be there. But everybody's trying to get that pie.
Absolutely. And they have Amazon Prime Day coming up in October. They have another one, a second one this year, on October 10th and 11th. And the ability for exclusive deals to sometimes be had through asking an Alexa what's on sale.
Yeah.
They would have a daily like fire sale through Amazon Alexa exclusively, means they're just trying to sell you on new things. And that new thing, that new device, that new Echo speaker is, you know, its intention is to make it easier to buy products without going through, you know, a web browser. So trying to like almost cinch down the time it takes you to realize that you need more, you know, a can of beans and in your kitchen and ordering it. Without having to go to the computer. So you could just ask Alexa that, you know, oh, reorder this for me. So it's very interesting what their strategy is and how they're, you know, not to use my own site's name, but take a shortcut to, yep, you know, you ordering some Amazon delivery service. So whether
it's clever, Fresh, right? It's a clever way to just almost disguise what the end game is.
Yes.
By giving us something that we want, you know, it's kind of interesting. You did mention, of course, a Microsoft executive going over to Amazon. Yes. Obviously, Panos Panay, who was heavily involved in the Surface hardware lineup. Microsoft had their own event this week. I was kind of underwhelmed in terms of the hardware itself. I thought we'd see maybe something on the Surface Pro line, maybe get an upgrade, because I think that device is really due for something a little bit different to keep people interested. But as you kind of alluded to, you think that they're kind of toning down on the hardware side. Do you think that might have been the reason that Panos jumped ship for Amazon?
Yeah, that was one of the reports I read, and it kind of makes sense why he would leave, because if there are staff cuts around him, even though he was, you know, in a good spot and probably wasn't threatened, it's like, well, why am I here? What kind of changes are we making to the world? And it's sad to see, because I feel like the Surface is a finely tuned competitor to whether it's the MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro. They have the Surface Go, which is kind of a decent competitor to the Air line that Apple has.
Yeah, I mean, I always love the form factor. You know, it's kind of like everybody wishes that there was an iPad that could do a little bit more on the computing side. Mm-hmm. And the Surface really is it without Mac OS, obviously. So that's kind of on my end. You know, I'm so ingrained in the Apple ecosystem, I find it difficult to go back to Windows. That being said, they're doing a pretty good job on the Windows side, making it a less cumbersome operating system and experience.
And I think they're taking fewer chances. I think that's really the downside to having an executive leave and also having staff cuts, is the company I'm finding that's really just grabbing my attention is Lenovo. They're coming out that Lenovo Legion Go, which is a handheld gaming device, but they also have the Lenovo YogaBook 9i. And that, to me, I took that with me to a trip to Italy, and it is, I don't know if you've seen it, but it has a dual screen to it. So it unfolds, and it has a keyboard, tactical keyboard and everything. But it just made my life so much easier, because I'm watching on a MacBook, but then I have this dual screen setup where I can tweet and I can run articles on the shortcut, and I can do all my multitasking. And technically, I only brought two laptops with me, but it felt like three.
Yeah, I mean, the form factor is insane, and I'll post a link on our social media so people can see it. So we talked Microsoft, we talked Amazon. Next week we're expecting, or in the next couple of weeks, we're expecting to hear from Google. We've got Meta coming out soon with their new Quest 3 and some products. No end in sight. I think everybody's kind of racing towards this holiday shopping season. What throughout all this, I know, because you have your hands in so many pieces of the pie here, what excites you personally? Is there anything that you are looking forward to anymore? I find, and then the reason I ask this, Matt, is because I find that we're seeing iterative updates. You know, where the days of these giant big unveils of secretive hardware that just blows our mind are kind of behind us. And I think social media is to blame a little bit because of, you know, product production line and leaks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can anticipate that really excites you, or Apple Vision, does that fall into this category maybe a little bit? Anything out there?
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a controversial one, but I think the Apple Vision Pro, despite its just incredibly high price, I think that is going to be it's either going to, excite people or, fail. And I think my controversial opinion is going to be actually pretty cool, because it's not meant for the everyday consumer just yet. And I think, they're going for almost as if they released the Apple Watch with only the pure gold edition and didn't have a consumer version, and they'll probably get there, but it's very much a top of the line device that is kind of putting computing on your face. And I find that to be very fascinating, because like I said, when I went away and I still had to cover the Apple event, I had a 3 monitor setup, but what if I could just wear something on my face and not bring all that gear with me, but have a multi-desktop setup built for productivity? And that's kind of what we saw with Apple Vision Pro. And I'm really, keen on having that be the future. I don't know if, no one's been able to pull that off quite well. I know, you mentioned the Meta Quest line, and that they kind of have attempted that a little bit, but it really hasn't resonated. The resolution isn't high enough. So I'm hoping for, Apple's high price tag, that they're going to be able to, embark on that vision and make it a success.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's almost a basic, it's a good proof of concept, and it gets people excited about it. We haven't, seen, it was funny because a lot of the post-announcement stuff that I was reading and videos that I'm watching, one person pointed out, did you notice that Apple didn't really experiment with extended reality, putting things in your actual world? Mm-hmm. And while I found that a little bit surprising, I think that's where the developers have to come in and do something with it. And Apple gives them the tools to do it. And I think that developers need to, and they will, step up and come out with some pretty cool things that will give us a reason to get that kind of headset, hopefully, as you said, with a little bit of a lower price tag.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, $3,500. And you look at something like the MetaQuest Pro, which released for $1,000. And I almost feel like Facebook or, you know, Meta has signaled that that's probably not going to be the future. It's going to be the MetaQuest 3 that they launched that is, you know, almost as powerful, and they're not really supporting the MetaQuest Pro despite launching not too long ago. That's an expensive mistake.
Yeah, that is indeed. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Come back anytime. Obviously, if people want to find you, they can head over to The Shortcut and follow everything that you do. Great videos, great content all the time. And it was great having you on.
Thanks for having me, Mark, and always happy to discuss tech with you.
Your Tech Report will be right back.
It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Allie Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.